Welcome to Tarati Mech on Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ruchama Welcher and today we'll be studying Sefer Koheles, Perek Hei, Chapter 5. The first thing to notice about this perek is that it switches from autobiographical first person, I saw, I observed, to the second person, instructive. And this reflects the fact that by now Koheles has discussed the main themes of his philosophy and his frustrations and disappointments, and now he turns more positive. And he talks about the proper path that man should take in this world to find meaning. And in this chapter, he talks about living a life of Yiras Elokim, of serving Hashem with respect, with humility, and with reverence. The second thing to point out here is that we're going to begin with the last pasuk in the previous chapter, which we didn't discuss when we learned the previous chapter in Perek Dalet, because it fits much better here. So it's important to understand that the chapter divisions were not made by Koheles himself. They were made by non-Jews at a later date, which is true for all of Tanakh. So we don't have to stick to them too rigidly, rather we can work with thematic divisions. So we're going to start with Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Zayin. And it starts by talking about how you have to be careful when you conduct yourself in the house of Hashem, in the presence of Hashem. Shmar raglecha kasher telech al beis Elokim. Guard yourself when you go to the house of Hashem. And also it talks in this pasuk about how a person should conduct themselves when bringing karbonos, when bringing sacrifices. V'karov lishmaya mites haksilim zavach, ki enam yadim la sois ra. So according to the Mitzvah, this means that Hashem is closer to a person who listens to him, v'karov lishmaya, than he is to fools who bring sacrifices, mites haksilim zavach, because these fools enam yadim la sois ra. They don't understand the implications of doing wrong. In other words, it's better to listen to Hashem than to bring extravagant offerings. And we see the same idea in the book of Shmuel, when Shaul HaMelech was instructed to kill out the tribe of the nation of Amalek, but he didn't kill everybody and he left alive some animals and the king. And when Shmuel confronted him and asked him why he didn't kill all the animals, he said that this was because he kept these animals alive because he wanted to bring them as sacrifices to Hashem. And Shmuel responded by saying, "Hinei shamua mizavach tov, lahakshiv michelev elim." It's better, it's more important to listen to Hashem than to bring him the choicest sacrifices. And whilst we don't have sacrifices today, we can still see the relevance in this pasuk in the idea that Hashem wants us to listen above all, more than he wants us to spend vast amounts of money on beautiful esrogim and beautiful menorahs. And whilst, of course, it's so important to do mitzvahs in the most beautiful way possible, what's most preferable to Hashem is that we listen to him and we keep his mitzvahs. Karov lishmaya, he's closer to those who listen than who spend money on extravagant displays of observance. There's also another idea in this pasuk, which is also about sacrifices versus intentions and pure hearts. And this is brought by the Gemara in Brachos that translates it as Shmar raglecha, guard your foot so that you don't sin. But if you do sin, which can happen, v'karov lishmaya, it's better to listen to the words of wise people who, when they sin, they bring sacrifice to atone and they also repent, mites haksilim zavach, as opposed to the sacrifices of fools who bring a sacrifice but don't repent, which emphasizes the importance of sincere repentance, because human beings make mistakes, but what matters is the tshuva. It's not enough to just bring a carbon, to bring a sacrifice to atone. The sacrifice is less important than the act of repentance. Hashem cares more about our heart and he cares more about our intentions, as it says in Tehillim Perek Nun Aleph 51, which is the chapter about teshuva, Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishbara. The ideal sacrifice for Hashem is a broken heart. So according to both of these explanations on this pasuk, the pasuk is talking about genuine, sincere observance as opposed to just superficial displays of religious practice. Rahmana Liba Ba'i. Hashem wants our hearts, Hashem wants our intentions most of all. Then in chapter 5, Pesukim 1 and 2, we're told to be careful what we say about Hashem, be careful not to criticize him. Be careful what you say, don't be hasty, don't be rash to speak about Hashem. Because Hashem is in heaven and you are here only on earth. Therefore your words should be few. Hashem is very high up and you are very low down on the earth. You don't understand what's going on. You don't understand his plans. You don't understand why he's doing things in a certain way. He's high. He can see the full picture. He has perspective you don't have. So be careful what you say about him. Be careful not to criticize. And Koheles uses a simile of dreams in Pasuk Beis, because dreams reflect a lack of coherent and rational thought. They're all over the place. Our thoughts are all over the place in our dreams. So when you speak about Hashem, he's saying, be careful not to talk in a dreamlike way. Be careful and measured. Don't sound like you're talking in dream talk with your thoughts all over the place. Be very careful to stay rational, to stay coherent, to think about what you say. Don't let it sound like you're in a dream. Then in Psukim Gimel through Vav, 3-6, he cautions us to be careful of making nedarim, of promises. Kasher tidar neder le'elokim, al ta'acher l'shamoy. When you make a promise to Hashem, a promise to do something good generally, this, al ta'acher l'shamoy, don't delay in fulfilling this. Ki ein chayfetz baksilim, because there's no desire in fools. Es asher tidar shalem, when you've promised something, fulfill it, pay it. Tova shelo tidar, misha tidar velo tishalem. Rather don't promise than promise and don't pay your promise. And al titenis picha lachatias besarecha, don't allow your mouth to cause your whole body to sin. Don't allow your mouth to make a promise and by there bring punishment upon your whole body for failing to fulfill your promise. But al taimer lifnei hamalach, and don't say to the malach ki shkagahi, that this was an error, and we'll have to explain what this means. So there are a few ideas contained in these psukim. First of all, when you make a promise to do a good thing, don't delay in carrying it out. Kasher tidar neder le'elokim, al ta'acher l'shama. Don't delay in fulfilling this promise. Says the Al-Sheikh, when you're going through a challenge, it's very natural to make a promise, to make a life change, or to do a mitzvah, to do something good. But do it immediately, he says, without waiting for the challenge to end. Don't wait for that challenge to end to keep your promise. And there's a beautiful description of this in Chedva Zilbafar Balei HaShalom's book, A Narrow Bridge, in which he describes a person who's crossing a very shaky and very narrow bridge, and the wind is blowing and there's a terrible storm and he's terribly, terribly frightened. So he promises, I'm going to go to davening every day from now on, and I'm going to speak nicely to my wife, and I'm going to be honest in my business. And the storm starts to subside and it's calmer and he's more confident, and he's walking across the bridge again in a more confident way. And he starts to think, when I said I'll go to davening every day, I mean like I'll try to go on most days, but I'll do my best. And I'll try my best to be honest in business, but I'm not sure that I could. And then the storm starts again. And he says, no, I really did mean it. I really did mean it. Don't be like this man. As the Mitzvah says on this pasuk, Ein chayfetz baksilim, there's no consistent will in fools. They change their minds all the time. That's the trademark of a fool. So if you make a promise in a time of challenge to do something good, do it right away. Keep your promise before you change your mind. The second idea on these psukim is based on the words, Tov asher lo tidar misha tidar v'lo tishalem. Rather not to promise than to promise and not pay. And there's a question in Chazal about whether it's even good to make a neder, a promise in a time of trouble. The Medrash says you shouldn't. Why do you need to make a neder? Just do a good thing. Why do you need to promise that you're going to do a good thing? And then on the other hand, the Gemara says that it is good to make a neder. We see Yaakov Avinu made a neder when he was running away from Esav, and he promised that if Hashem protects him and he gives him clothes and food, then he will give him 10% of everything. He promised to give him Maaser. So we see it is good to make a neder there. So we resolve this contradiction between the Gemara and the Medrash with the suggestion that it's good to take something on and it's good to commit to something in a time of difficulty. But one should say the words bli neder without a promise, so that if we're not able to end up keeping it, then we don't run into trouble. And the final idea in this psukim is, who is the malach in the words that we read, al tomar lifnei hamalach kishugogahi? Don't tell the malach that it's an error. So I want to suggest two possibilities. Firstly, the Sfarna says that this refers to the chacham or the Talmud chacham, that's responsible for annulling your vow that you made by mistake. If you make a vow by mistake, you make a neder by mistake, you can go to a yachid mumche, a Talmud chacham, to annul your vow. So don't put yourself in a position where you end up saying to this person who has to annul the vow that this was a mistake, that I didn't mean what I said. Rather think things through in advance and don't end up in this position. That's one way of understanding this. And the second way of understanding this is according to Rashi and Mitzvah, who translate Malach as actual messenger. So when you plug that in, if you do make a promise and you pledge money to charity, don't tell the messenger who comes to collect the pledge that it was a mistake and that you don't have the funds, which I think is the story of people who collect tzedakah's lives, people who are responsible for collecting people's pledges. This is a story of their lives. Don't pledge unless you mean it. Don't retract when it's time to pay up and say that it was a mistake. Don't tell the messenger that it was a mistake and that you can't pay. Rather, think things through in advance and be careful with what you promise. And finally, Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7, goes back to the first point that we made in Pesukim Aleph and Beis and reiterates the idea that you shouldn't use your speech to question the ways of Hashem. Im Oishek Rosh V'Gezel B'Mishpat V'Tzedek Tira B'Medina, if you see oppression, Al Tisma Lachifetz, don't be concerned, don't question this. Ki Govoya Me'al Govoya Shomer, because the one who is higher than high is keeping watch, and he will deal with this when the time is right. If you recall, we had a similar idea in the third parak, and we discussed how when you see injustice, we have to appreciate that we don't see the full picture of things, and there we discussed it in the context of time, because Hashem sees the full picture in terms of time, and we just see a small snapshot. So you've got the idea here that Shomer, he's waiting for the right time, but we're also adding another layer to this understanding here of people who are doing bad and not being held responsible, and that is Kikovoya Me'al Govoya. You're limited as a human being. He's higher than high. He's way above you, like we said in Pasuk Aleph. So he will avenge these people in the proper time. Know that he's responsible. So to summarize this section that emphasized speech, be careful when you speak to Hashem. Be careful when you make a neder. Be careful when you speak about Hashem. Be very careful with your speech, which is really the highest expression of your humanity. And it's what differentiates you from animals. Be careful to use it with sincerity and with discretion and be thought out. And the final idea is that the Talmud Chachma says that given that speech is so incredibly powerful, see how careful we have to be with it, even when we're using it for something good. Even when you're making a promise to do something good, as it says in the first Pasuk, Al kein yiyu devarecha ma'atim, your words should always be few. Now, in the second section of this chapter, Koheles moves into a discussion about the limitations of wealth and the problems with being obsessed with just increasing one's net worth. And he begins by talking about the advantages of working in the field as opposed to making money. So, melech lasada ne'avad, even a king is sustained by the land, he says in Pasuk Ches. It's the great equalizer, says the Alshach. If someone works the land and he makes an honest living and he's sustained by what he eats, he's the same as a king who's also sustained by the land. As opposed to, ayev kesev lo yisba kesev, someone who just loves money for the sake of it, he never finds satisfaction. Because as Rashi says, lo yisba kesef, you can't eat money, you literally don't get satiated from it. And someone who loves abundance as opposed to food, this is hevel. Because the point of money is not an end in itself, it's to get food. So if you just love money and you're not concerned with food, then gamze hevel, this is futile. Hence, Masuka Shnas Ha'ovet, he says, the honest man who works hard and doesn't have empires, he sleeps better than Hasava La'ashir, sorry, Einena Maniach Lelishain. The rich man who has so much abundance, his abundance doesn't let him sleep. And why is this? So there are two answers suggested for why the worker is better off than the rich man. First of all, because, as we say in Perkei Avos, Marbe Nachasim Marbe Daga, the more possessions you have, the more worry you have. If you have a pool, then there's a worry it will break. If you have a car, there's a worry it will be stolen, right? A rich man has a lot more worries than a poor man who has fewer possessions and he doesn't have to worry about them so much. So that's the first answer for why the honest poor worker who makes enough to eat is better off than the rich man. And the second answer is because we feel good and we feel satisfied from accomplishments, which is the feeling that the worker gets. He gets satisfaction from what he does, from producing something. But money doesn't provide the same satisfaction. So for example, running a marathon, it's not easy, it's not fun, but you feel accomplished afterwards, presumably, more than the satisfaction you would get from eating in a fantastic restaurant. And the irony is most people would choose a luxurious experience over working hard and accomplishing something, but it doesn't provide the same depth of experience or satisfaction. And this is a very profound idea that's worth thinking about in our culture that's obsessed with success and money. Job satisfaction isn't measured by salary. There are so many jobs that are not lucrative, but they provide tremendous job satisfaction like teaching, caring professions, and they may very well bring a person more meaning in his life than a high-powered, well-paid job, as we see in these psukim here. Masuka shnasa oved, the worker sleeps well. And then in psukim 12 onwards, Koheles reinforces this advice by discussing a specific problem with accumulating wealth, and he discusses the case of a person who loses all his money. And the problem is that money is easily lost. Because money and possessions are external to us, they're what we have, they're not what we are, they can be lost so easily as opposed to accomplishments which are ours forever. And Rashi actually says that the fact that he's wealthy causes him to lose his money, like in the case of Korach, because money can cause a person to become arrogant and think they're invincible, and that can result in Hashem causing them to lose their money. So money is not just something that's easily lost, but it's often the cause of itself being lost. So he concludes about this, that a person, kasha yotza mibetan imo arum, just as he came out of his mother's womb naked, he returns naked with nothing. He can take nothing with him. So what was the point in him working so hard? Gam kol yomav b'choshech yochel, his whole life he ate in darkness, he ate at night because he was too busy working during the day, which is something many of us can relate to. V'chas harbe v'cholyoy v'ketzef, he suffered so much work-related stress, so much anxiety, and ultimately where does this life of self-denial and misery lead him? So this leads Koheles to conclude in the last two psukim, hinei an esher ra'isi, and itoiv asher yofer le'achol u'lishtos l'rois tova b'chol amalai. It's better to eat, to drink, and to see good in all your work. Since we leave the world exactly as we came into it, it's pointless to accumulate wealth. We should rather eat and drink and see good in one's work. And there are two main ideas in this. Number one, be happy with your lot instead of constantly looking to increase your net worth. Lerois betova, be happy with your lot, see good, be content with what Hashem has given you. And that is a recipe for a fulfilled life. If you're always happy with what you have, then you're fulfilled. And the second idea in this psukim is based on the medrash that we've mentioned before, that any time it says eat or drink in Koheles, it's referring to Torah and mitzvahs. So instead of worrying about increasing money that's extrinsic to you and easily lost, focus on the things that you don't risk losing, your spiritual accomplishments, and that you'll ultimately take with you. So to summarize quickly, this parak discusses a path to a meaningful and fulfilling life, firstly through being careful with our speech, our yiras elokim through speech, and secondly, about how accumulating wealth doesn't bring fulfillment, but we get fulfillment from what we accomplish as opposed to what we accumulate. Thank you for studying together Le'ilu Nishmas, Rose Foreman, Rachel Bas Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bas Shlomo.